Hey, welcome to Christ Church. My name is Reverend Mike. We're so glad you're joining us online or at one of our campuses. I pray God uses this message to bless you in some way this day. Well, we're entering into a new year. And with the new year, you know, there's usually lots of new possibilities, new goals, new expectations, and new unknowns. For some of us, that's very exciting. For others of us, that's a bit daunting. So here is what I want us to do today. I want us to be in the absolute best position to receive everything that God has for us in 2018. And I believe for us to move into 2018 really well, we have to actually take a trip back through 2017 first. Next week, Reverend Shane will be preaching, and he'll give us more of a macro level of what God has done through Christ Church in 2017, or what God has done through you in 2017. My kind of task today is to give us a more micro view by having us look back at our lives in 2017. Now, here's why I'm doing this. I believe for us to fully engage in the future, we have to have resolution with our past. We need a sense of closure in 2017 for those things that can be closed, and we need to put 2017 on the shelf in order that we might be available for what God has for us in 2018. Well, let me also say this. None of us know what 2018 holds. I know a lot of you with age understand that. There could be a lot of ups and downs in this coming year. But I can promise you this. It's really what the Bible promises, is that God has good for you in 2018. We can't guarantee what's going to play out, but God does promise that there will be good for you. So let's get in position for that, and let's dive in together. We're in 2 Timothy today. Now, 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul, and it is the second of two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Paul and Timothy spent years together sharing the gospel and starting churches. Everything that Timothy knew came from Paul, and they had a very close relationship. In fact, when Paul writes about Timothy in another letter in the New Testament, he actually tells people that he doesn't have anyone like Timothy. He was like a son to him, and they even worked together. They had a close relationship. And when we look at 1 and 2 Timothy in general, we need to think of a couple dynamics that are always at play. First of all, there's a father-son dynamic. There's also Paul kind of being like a job coach for Timothy. There's a mentor-mentoree kind of thing happening. And there's also just a spiritual dynamic that happens whenever you're talking about the gospel and living for God. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on in these letters. Now, the first letter to Timothy came after one of Paul's stays in a Roman prison. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Paul has quite the rap sheet. He was arrested many times, and all of those times were related to his faith in Jesus. Now, this second letter we're reading today comes from a different time when he was in prison, and he actually wrote this letter in prison. What adds to the personal nature of this letter is Paul is going to be martyred and for his faith sometime within a year of this letter being written. Paul knows that, and Timothy knows that as well. This is an end of a season for Paul. This is the end of his earthly life. He knows he's going to heaven. And this is a new season for Timothy, a pastor who's been under the wing of Paul, but now he's going to be a major player in the church, and he's going to be out on his own. I want us to look at Paul as kind of putting his life on the shelf, his earthly life. And I want us to pay attention to what he is imparting to Timothy throughout this sermon. And I think as we look at them, we're going to find what we need to go into 2018 really, really well. So here we go. What is Paul leaving with Timothy, and how can that help us? Well, first, to hold on to good teaching. Paul is taking years teaching Timothy about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because of the years of Timothy listening and learning from Paul, Timothy knows that Paul is giving him a good teaching, and Timothy knows that Paul's teachings, they are solid. They have been tested. It's kind of like you get a little bit older with your parents, your mentor, whoever gave you some, tried to give you some sage life advice. Maybe at first you thought they were trying to ruin your life, but as time went on, you realized that the tips they were giving you, they were trying to give you life. Well, Paul and Timothy have been together for a while. Timothy has grown, and he realized that Paul was really there to help him in his faith. Paul's teachings were tested, and they were true. So how does that get us ready for the good God's going to send our way in 2018? This is how it does. We have to hold on to the things God has taught us in 2017. And let me start like this. People of God, Christ Church, God is teaching you something. Through every season, our God is teaching you a lesson. It's actually part of our spiritual DNA to learn from God. We were created to be taught by God. So there's no question if God taught you something in 2017. In fact, I'm sure he taught you many things in 2017. And so some of you may have the question, how do we know when God is teaching us something? You know, that's a great question, and there's really a lot of answers for that. But what I want to do is kind of hone in on one way we know God's teaching us something. And one of those ways is when God allows conflict and confusion to come into our lives. Now, I don't want you to be fooled or think that I'm fooled. Not all this conflict and confusion comes from God, but God does allow it, and he allows it for a reason. Now, why would he allow conflict and confusion to come in then? You know why? Because it gets our attention. And another big reason that I found is because we have unrest until that confusion and until that conflict is solved. We have unrest within us. We need a bit of unrest in order that we might seek rest from the perfect one who can give us perfect rest. When we have these moments of unrest, it creates a hunger within us to search and learn from God and what he's teaching us. So, if you look back at your 2017, was there anything, any kind of conflict or confusing situation that ended up making you better? Did you learn something about yourself? When you started going through it, did you start reading about the situation, how you could make it through? Did you start researching? Did you start reading your Bible? Did you lean on other people's advice? Did you pray even harder? And did you make it through? Did it make you better? If that is you, that is an important lesson. That is a piece of gold, my friends, that God has given you. You don't want to put that on the shelf in 2017 and move on without it. You want to make sure you carry that with you as we enter into 2018. All right, what else is Paul leaving with Timothy? How to partner with God. Now, I don't want us to miss this because I feel like I hear people struggle with this all the time, and I've struggled with it too. This idea how we partner with God. Why is this so hard? Because we serve a God who's the living God of all the universe, yet he lives inside of us sinners, who have a tendency to make dumb choices. So how do we partner with this God who's also the God of the universe? You know, when I was in Israel in 2016, we really went on an outstanding trip. It was with people here at Christ Church, and we combined it with a few other churches in the area. But I'm really just now starting to process and understand what it meant. We went to so many sites over there, and about halfway through the trip, we had about 100 people around us, and we were at this place where we wanted to talk, or excuse me, the tourist guide wanted to come and ask me a question about, hey, how has this trip really touched your heart? Now, let me give you a little bit more context. Since this is about halfway through the trip, all these 100 people we went with, they were very emotional being in the Holy Land. It really touched their heart. And there was a tendency for our tour guide to take a microphone and say, hey, how has this touched your heart? And let me tell you something. When people talked about it, they did it beautifully. They spoke from the heart. They articulated it in such a grand way. So it was my turn about halfway through the trip. And I felt like I was some kind of robot that wasn't functioning correctly. It's the only way I could put it. It was so surreal to be there. And so the tour guide, me, you know, asked this pastor to come up and tell about how this trip has touched his heart. And I go up there and he builds it up and he puts the microphone in my face and I'm like, yeah, it's all right. Yeah. And then everyone's looking at me and he kind of puts the microphone back at his chest. And I don't know what he's thinking, but he tries to build it up again and like maybe just give me another shot. And he puts it right on the tee for me just to crank it right down the middle. And then I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I'm kind of processing through it. And his eyes, I just remember his eyes getting bigger and bigger when I was sharing this with him. And then I just kind of, you know, maybe tucked my tail a little bit and walked back. And I remember other people who were at the trip were kind of shaking their head at me like, there's the heathen pastor. We're in the Holy Land. What is wrong with him? But here's the deal. I wasn't indifferent about this trip. I loved being in the Holy Land, but I was really blown away about it. But what was the problem for me personally was this. The God of the universe, the eternal one who's not held by time, who's always existed, came into the flesh, we just celebrated Christmas, 2,000 years ago, and he walked in this land. And I'm walking on ground that he walked on, not to mention all the biblical stories that God had done. And then that's the God who's healed me, who saved me, who's worked in my life, who's blessed my family, who's blessing you. And I'm standing on this ground. For this little mind, that was a lot to process. So it came out like, I don't know what I'm doing. But here's the deal. It takes me to my point. Sometimes our minds cannot handle what it means to partner with this incredible God. It's overwhelming for us. So how do we partner as finite beings with this infinite one? And I got three tips for you how we can partner with God. Here's the first one. A, realize you're human. We are human. That means that we have a personal and an ancestral history of making mistakes. Now, that's not an excuse to stop trying, but it is a reality in which we live. We're human. We have a sinful history. There is no way around that. But we have to realize and we have to remind ourselves that we're human. And that leads us to B. Realize that God knows you are human. Missing the mark or the mistakes that you have done and will do are no surprise to God. Missing the mark, the ways you missed the mark, the ways you made mistakes, the ways you're going to make mistakes. I'm going to tell you something. None of those surprise God, even if they surprise ourselves. And if you want to hear a good Bible, a chapter that talks about kind of God's knowing us in the midst of our trials, try Psalm 139. It's one of my favorite verses that just has God's unconditional, favorite chapters that has God's unconditional love for us. I would recommend that. God sees all these mistakes. He sees the shortcomings, and he still loves us with an undying love. That's awesome. And one of the things I think we forget is our humanity. Remember, our humanity is put upon us for a reason. What I mean is God knows we're human, and he still wants to work with us. God knows you're not perfect, and he's good with it. And the Apostle Paul, I love, one of my favorite stories that he writes about is how we are like these clay jars. He does a metaphor. He says, we are like these clay and broken jars. He's talking about our imperfections. Yet we house this great power from God. And that can be confusing for us because at times we just are a part of something incredible, God using us. And actually, that can be confusing for others too because they'll see God use us in an incredible way. And then they'll look at us and they'll see the cracks in the jar. They'll see the blemishes. They'll see all our irregularities. And so that's confusing for them and it's confusing for us. But you know who it's not confusing for? It's not confusing for God. We have to realize that God, he knows we're human. See? Realize it's not about arriving. It's about growing. The way we know we're doing well with our relationship with Jesus is we are continuing to grow in our faith. If you've ever had someone ask you, how are you doing with Jesus? How are you doing with God? Sometimes that turns people into a panic. And that's not necessarily about how much you're reading your Bible or praying. The real point of that question is to start to ask or start to evaluate, am I growing in my faith? And if you're growing in your faith, even in small steps, that means you and your relationship with God is going well. The flip side of that, if you're doing all that stuff and no progress is being made, that means your faith in God is not doing well. So we have to realize that we have to think about not arriving, but about growing. You know, sometimes I think we have this finished product of a Christian model in our heads that we can keep comparing ourselves to. And then we throw away any positive progress we make because we're not that finished model yet. But I think we're on the cusp of idolatry with that because it assumes we know what God wants us to look like in the future. The future Christian model of ourselves that we see in our minds, that model should motivate us, but it should never discourage us or should never destroy us. I think of some of us get into a fighting match with God as well because we keep trying to turn ourselves into this image that we created, and God keeps saying, I love you. I'm turning you into exactly who I created you to be. If we understand our partnering with God as taking these small steps of spiritual growth, we are going to experience the Holy Spirit's growth in our lives. Now, let's turn these last three tips I gave about partnering with God, let's turn those into glasses so we can view our 2017. And here they are again if you didn't write them down. We need to realize we're human. We need to realize that God knows we're human and realize it's not about arriving, but it's about growing. Look back at your 2017 in this micro view of today. with those glasses on. Do you need to cut yourself a little bit of slack? Maybe you think of 2017 with a little too much judgment, and you need to have a little more grace and mercy on yourselves. And you know what? I know someone who's looking at your 2017 with grace and mercy. You know what his name is? Jesus. So if he's looking at your 2017 like that, why should you look at it any differently? You know, you could use words to help describe your 2017 in a more positive light. And if it wasn't a joyous year, you don't have to claim a joyous year. But find a word in your 2017 that's helping you move forward. Help you move forward. If it was a great year, then go ahead and do that as well. And what I would recommend is that you take that word, and anytime you start to use negative feelings, feel negatively about yourself, go back to what you wrote and claim that over your 2017. You may have to do that for a few months, but God is not wanting you to look at 2017 in a condemning way. He's wanting you to look at it in a way where you're growing and a way where you're experiencing his love. Okay, for our final point today of what Paul is leaving with Timothy, we have to take care of what's most important. You know, Timothy had a lot of things swirling around in his life. His mentor was about to be martyred. The churches he was leading, they were struggling. There were false teachers preaching the gospel everywhere. Timothy felt like he was being stretched from every direction. And you know, Paul addresses some of that. But really, this is one of the most important parts in these two verses we read today, is when he tells Timothy to carefully guard the precious truth that's been entrusted to him. There's something going on here in the Greek, and I don't want us to lose this. In the original language, Paul is talking to Timothy about a special trust that God has given Timothy. In other words, a specific responsibility that God has given Timothy, something that only Timothy was placed on earth to do. Now, of course, that was to share the gospel, but it was also, how does that gospel start to overflow into the areas of his life? With all the drama swirling around, Paul tells Timothy to carefully guard that trust. Timothy had to take care of what was most important. So the question I have for us this day is this: what has God entrusted to us? What is most important? Can we identify those people, those goals, the ministry God has entrusted to us, the job God has entrusted to us? If we are sure those are the things, those are the most important things, we actually have a biblical mandate to watch over those things with special care. God calls those people, that ministry, that job, precious. And those things are things we should be sure to take from 2017 into 2018. And if they're not the most important things, if we're figuring out what's not important to us, you know what we need to do with those things? We need to put them on the shelf and leave them in 2017. Today's your day. God looks at your 2017 with so much love and understanding towards you. He's taught you some important lessons. Yes, he has. You're learning how to partner with him. And God is reminding you about what is most important in life. You know, I don't want us to spend time expending energy in 2018 from 2017 stuff that God says just to put on the shelf. So let's not toil with that stuff any longer, so we can have the full experience of what God has for you and me in 2018. Will you pray with me? Loving God, 2017 has been quite the year. God, many of us can think of great victories. God, there's been lows in 2017 for some of us. God, we thank you that in the midst of it all, you have this great promise that you are with us always. So God, right now, we pray there's anything on our hearts that we need to leave in 2017, we would do so. That you would empower us, Lord God, to jump into this new year fresh, ready to receive from you. God, also those lessons that you've taught us, those people and those things that should be important to us and brought into 2018, help us to bring those into this next year, so we can experience all that you have for us. We love you, God, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.